Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LC Mez International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. The Reverend Philip Krupski is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LC Mez International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth, and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe in the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved, through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I just share the first verse of that again, where Paul said, "And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming." Since the Reformation began, especially since 1520 or even later, Luther and the Reformers were desiring that there would be an ecumenical council to settle once and for all that the church could rest on grace alone and faith alone and Scripture alone and Christ alone. That council always seemed to be fleeting, never happening. But finally, in June of 1536, Pope Paul announced that there would be an ecumenical council in Mantua, Italy, beginning a year later in May of 1537. But instead of satisfying the Reformers' desires that the truth could be reignited within the church, the Pope expressed that the purpose of this council was once and for all to exterminate the Lutheran problem. So, 6 months later or so, on December 1st, Elector John Frederick challenged Luther to write down a summary of the faith that he expressed. And he was to present this collection of theses based on his belief in the truth of the gospel to an organization called the Small Cod League. These articles that Luther was preparing would become called to be the Small Cod Articles. Small Cod League was a group of Lutheran territories that were binding together so that their Lutheran faith would not be eradicated. And so Luther began working on that right away at the beginning of December of 1536. But on the 18th of December, Luther came down with some serious illness. Some attest that maybe it was kidney stones, others maybe even a heart attack. There's lots of different thoughts about that. Nonetheless, true to form for this man Luther, he kept working, though sick, and by the end of December, December 28th, presented his first draft of these Small Cod Articles. Now, the Small Cod League did not meet until wintertime, and Luther was still too sick to attend those meetings. And the Small Cod League, because mostly probably because of political differences and ideas, you know, it's hard to get strong-willed people to agree about the same thing. So they didn't adopt it formally, but 44 people did sign it. And over time, this statement, the small called articles, became known as Luther's last will and testament, the small called articles. Now, why would I have spent all of that time describing the history of the small called articles? Because in part two of the three parts of the small called articles, in article 4, Luther condemned the papacy, calling the papacy the Antichrist, referencing what John called the Antichrist in 1 John and 2 John. But more than that, Luther relied heavily on 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul doesn't call it the Antichrist, but the man of lawlessness. But Luther pointed to this and named the Pope the Antichrist for a couple of reasons, but two major ones. Because, in his words, the Pope exalts himself above and opposes himself against Christ. And two, that the Pope would not allow Christians to be saved apart from his power. In this reference of raising the truth of the gospel, only to have the Pope threatened with eradication through a council, Luther wrote this strong statement, and this statement became part of the Book of Concord, part of our Lutheran confessions to which we hold. Strong connection with this section of 2 Thessalonians 2. Now, as I mentioned, John, the Apostle John, references the Antichrist in 1 and 2 John. And similarly, in the book of Revelation, John describes the second beast. Two beasts, mainly, in Revelation. The first one, worldly power, wielding the sword. The second one, sort of operating within the church. And that is this common theme between the Antichrist, the second beast, and then the man of lawlessness that Paul describes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Earlier in the chapter of 2 Thessalonians 2, words that we didn't read this morning, Paul had said that this man of lawlessness opposes and exalts himself against every so-called god or object of worship. Paul said that this man of lawlessness takes his seat in the temple of God and proclaims himself to be God. And then in our text this morning, we heard Paul say that this man of lawlessness works by the activity of Satan. Common thread of the Antichrist, of the beast, of the man of lawlessness, that ultimately they are just manifestations, representations of Satan himself. And that, finally, Paul says, this man of lawlessness works by deception. Deception. Now, all of that sounds really scary, doesn't it? And the reality is that the Christian danger for us is not so much from outside the church, where swords are wielded and lives are threatened. But the real danger has always been, continues to still be, from within the church. From those who would pretend to be of Christ, trying to look like Christ, but offering something else other than the salvation that Christ won for us by his death on the cross and his resurrection. So Luther could identify the evil in his day, personified in the Pope, in the papacy as a general rule, and see that there was so much opposition to the truth of the gospel, of God's grace alone. But as John identifies in his letters, there are many antichrists that roam around. And these days, half of the Christians of the world are not under the authority of the Pope. And yet there still is that threat from within, that deception, that activity of Satan that works within the church. As for whatever reason, simply because of the pride of our sin, we human beings always want to substitute something else in place of Christ alone. some activity, something you have to accomplish, or these days in many modern churches, simply to offer self-help instructional tools to try to make yourself better in life. Yes, we face the same evil attack from within in our day, just as Luther did, just as the people of Paul and John did. The evil activity of Satan from within, striving to take our eyes off of Jesus and to place them on our own activity. And Paul calls that in our text such an evil delusion, a rejection of Christ, that then God hands them over to that rejection to be condemned. And yet there's really, really good news in our text for this morning. Because Paul encourages us with the promise of deliverance. Every time Paul starts talking about the end times, and certainly this time of the year in our church year, we're focused on that. It's Christ's return. But every time Paul refers to that return of Christ, it is always linked with encouragement. So Paul tells us that before the end, first of all, the man of lawlessness is going to be revealed. You see, deception only works if it's hidden. But God's promise is he will reveal that deception and show the man of lawlessness to be who he is. And then in such a sweeping, clear presentation, then Paul says that Jesus, when he appears, and oh, what a day that will be, when he appears, he will kill the man of lawlessness with the pneuma, with the spirit or breath of his mouth. As I was working with this text over the last week, I was thinking about that. Jesus appears and goes, whew, and the man of lawlessness is no more. The breath or spirit from Jesus' mouth, his holy word, is how Jesus accomplishes his victory over the evil one and all who would be aligned with the evil one. It's not some great contest or battle. It's not a battle of Armageddon where Jesus barely wins, as some people would imagine. But Christ comes back and the evil is gone. This is great news and great comfort for us. Because in reality, we sometimes scratch our heads and say, why is there so much trouble in the world and even so much trouble within the church? So much trouble within our congregations. But we cling to God's promise of deliverance, Christ's return. And so the charge for us by Paul is to cling to the truth. Because the truth is what defends us against that deception. The truth is that only Christ can save. The truth is that none of us can make ourselves better than we are. We hear an expression a lot these days, people saying, oh, that person is living out their best life. It's a deception. Only Christ can give us the best life. And that truth of the gospel stands contrary to what our eyes may perceive in this world. But the truth itself, the gospel itself, has the power of salvation for all who would believe, so that we can make it to the finish line. And so our reaction is to have our eyes open and to be aware of all the deceptions. And yet to have our souls calmed and comforted, because we know that God rescues us and that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.